The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
All right, here we go. Okay, back to Pastor. All right, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now, I know I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it just illustrates the point so well. But there was a customs officer who observes people coming through the border. And there's this truck that pulled up to the border. And this guy just looked suspicious. So he ordered the driver to get out so that he could search the vehicle. He brought out the dog, and they pulled off the panels, the bumpers, the wheel cases, but they didn't find a single scrap of contraband. Still suspicious, but at a loss to know where else to search, he waved the driver through. The next week, the same driver arrives. Again, the official searches, and again finds nothing illegal. Over the years, the official tries full body searches. He tries x-rays. He tries sonar. Anything that he can think of every single week, the same man drives up, but no mysterious cargo ever appears. And each time, reluctantly, the customs man, he waves the driver through. Finally, after many, many years, the officer is about to retire. The driver pulls up, and he says, "You know, I know you are a smuggler. Don't bother denying it, I know it. But I cannot figure out what you have been smuggling all these years. I just want to let you know, I'm leaving now, I'm going to retire. I swear right now I can do you no harm. Will you please, please tell me what you've been smuggling?" He looked at him and said, "Trucks." Obviously missing the obvious. Do we have difficulty with the obvious today? Too many distractions keeping us from recognizing what is, like we say today, right under our nose. It's such an issue today that psychologists even have a term for it. They call it inattentional blindness. It's an actual term. We're just not able to see the obvious. What's right in front of our face? So distracted, we can't see it. More specifically today, though, family, do we obviously miss the obvious concerning this holiday we call Christmas? The question is, what is the holiday for? What is this whole thing about? Do we really know what it is that we're celebrating? I mean, I know it's a strange question to ask because it's so obvious, isn't it? See, I think so, but I wonder sometimes. It doesn't seem like we're seeing the obvious when it comes to Christmas these days. I mean, I've been talking with Christians, and I hear from Christians over the years, and when you ask them what the season is about, I just randomly go up and ask sometimes, and I hear many people say, it's about family. It's about loving each other. It's about a time that we have to emphasize giving. It's about mending broken relationships. It's about world peace. It's about helping the less fortunate. Some even says it's about lights. It's about trees. It's about non-alcoholic eggnog. So it was a Baptist that I asked. Presbyterians just say eggnog. It's about presents. It's about kisses under the mistletoe. Well, what about Christ? Does Christ fit into that? Well, it's about him too. Him too? So do we, Christian, do we know what Christmas is about? Is it so obvious that we miss the obvious? And see, the thing that I thought is really interesting is it's sad because I feel like unbelievers see that Christmas is obviously pertaining to Christ. The unbelievers see that it's obviously about Christ. That's the reason why they want to change the name. You see? A super popular evangelical pastor was, they were interviewing him, and they asked, hey, what should we do? What should Christians do on Christmas? And he said, some of the gifts you can give this Christmas are beyond monetary value. He says, what you can do is you can mend a quarrel, dismiss suspicion, tell somebody, I love you, give something away anonymously, forgive someone who has treated you wrong, turn away wrath with a soft answer, visit someone in a nursing home, apologize if you were wrong, be especially kind to someone with whom you work, give like God gave to you in Christ without obligation or announcement or reservation or hypocrisy. And I'm watching this interview and I'm waiting. I'm like, yeah, that's good. And I was waiting. And then I thought at the end, I was like, wow, he said, tell someone I love you. What about telling someone that Jesus died for their sins? You see what I'm saying? So obvious that are we missing the obvious? What about the gift of telling someone about the gospel? Is this not the greatest gift that we could ever give anyone? Should we not tell someone about Christ? Is not the season about Christ? Is it possible that it's so obvious that we miss it? The coming of the King, the kingdom of heaven, salvations. Shouldn't Christians, especially pastors, know this? A popular Christian musician wrote a song that I listened to growing up. I'm sure many of you guys listened to growing up. It's called The Grown-Up Christmas List. No more lives torn apart, that wars would never start. A time would heal all hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love will never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. Christian music artist. And the whole time I'm going, what about Christ? What about our grown-up Christmas list actually including that the gospel would be declared? Is that not something we should have on our list? That salvation, that I would ask God for the salvation of my friends and my loved ones. I mean, think about this. I want us to think about this just for a minute. Great. A person, God grants the wish. This person has a life that's not torn apart. That this person had never had to deal with war. This person always has a healed heart. This person always has a friend. This person has right, always winning out for them. This person experiences love that never ends and burns in hell for eternity. That makes sense. Did you get that? Did you see that? That an individual can have all of those things and still burn in hell forever. I mean, I think about stuff like this and I go, it's like telling a person who's dying of cancer that God gave me one wish. He said, Shane, you have one wish for this individual. And you go up and tell this person who's dying of cancer, God gave me one wish for you, and you know what I did? I wished that you would get chocolate cake and a back rub every night for the rest of your life. Think about it, family. Just think about it for a second. Is that not what we're doing? Somebody is drowning, reaching out a hand because they're about to die, and instead of reaching out to grab them and save them, we give them a high five. Is that not what we're doing? The reality is, you cannot have life without Christ. You cannot have church without Christ. You can't have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christmas without Christ. Family, or is Christ the Lord coming into this world to seek and save that which was lost not the reason for the season? Is the season not about Christ? Maybe I miss something. Maybe we all those of you that are amening today, maybe we all miss something. That'd be something. We're not seeing something. I mean, is not the name Christ actually the name of the holiday? I mean, it's like somebody saying, New Year's Day. What's that holiday about? Columbus Day. What's Columbus Day about? Independence Day. What's Independence Day about? What's Easter? What's Easter about? Well, I mean, the Easter Bunny, of course. But what? It's amazing. What is Christmas about? And the fact that we are always, I mean, you see even on TV, watching things on TV, we're wrestling with this whole idea about Christmas. Family, it's so obvious, family, that it's hard to honestly say that we miss it. But see, what I think is, I think the reality is, got your seatbelts, buckle it in, get ready. These are the sermons that get me in trouble all the time. I think the reality is that we see it. We just don't want to see it. Whoa, got real quiet in here. Because, let's be honest, there are other things that we want during Christmas other than Christ. Because, family, let's just be honest, Christmas is way too lucrative. We can get a lot of stuff that we want during Christmas. Merchandisers and businesses, man, they love Christmas. Credit card companies love Christmas. Why do you think they love Christmas? Christmas is the most self-centered time of the year, and people are always saying that this is not the time to be selfish. Come on, right? And we wonder why everybody's confused. It's confusing. Be selfish, but don't let it be known that you're being selfish. Do that, and you're good. Hey, you know what? I'll believe whatever you want. Just buy some stuff. Did you know that even when people are giving gifts, they can be selfish? Trying to win favor from someone. Trying to gain affection. Trying to get that promotion at work. Trying to buy love. To cover up the guilt that you feel because of what you did to somebody else. We don't want it to be about Christ because this is a time we can get so much more. Some of the most self-centered people that I have ever met over the years are the most legalistic about Christ being the reason for the season. They're always saying, you know what? It's not about the presents. It's about the giving. But here's the problem, family. Is it because they want to be giving and selfless at least one time a year because they're so self-centered and selfish the other days of the year? All right, somebody got it. Did you hear that? It's amazing. Sometimes I see that legalism come in. It's not about presents. It's about giving. It's better to give than receive. But that's not the mantra that they're chanting the rest of the year. Is it how we justify our self-centeredness? Family, I don't even like some of these categories that we make. You know, for me and Janine, we teach our kids, and as your pastor, I try to teach us to rid ourselves of categories like this. To give you an example, I don't want my kids to think that Christmas is the only time where they can get what they want and need. You know, follow me. Some of y'all might not like this, but follow me on this, okay? Just give me a chance. If you do that, then in their minds, Christmas becomes the time where you get what you want and what you need. You see that? if that's all we do, if we're only going to give them presents during Christmas, then that's all they're going to think Christmas is about. And then you're trying to tell them, oh no, Christmas is not about presents, Christmas is about Christ. But what have we been conditioning them through all the years? What we tell our kids is, hey, we will get you what you want, we will get you what you need when we can. Right? I mean, how would you like it when you pray, God, please, I just need to get some money so that I can pay my bills this next month coming up? And God goes, well, you know what? Yeah, that's fine. Wait till Christmas. God doesn't even do that with us. Why are we doing that when it comes? And we're doing it on a holiday where we're supposed to be focused on something other than things that we want and we need. We can't get people to focus on Christ during Christmas because it's not the focus. And I'm not concerned with getting my children to focus on Christ during Christmas. Why? Because we teach them that they're to focus on Christ every single day. There's the confusion again. Oh, okay, so, oh yeah, we're all going to focus on Christ just for that one day a year. And the rest of the time, what? Christ is this gift that's so amazing that he deserves more than one day to be glorified. I mean, when we say things like, well, you know what? It's better to receive, better to give than to receive on Christmas. It's not just a Christmas thing, family. Better to give, or all the virtues and benefits, the gifts, the getting them things they want, the goodwill towards men, peace, love, adoration, forgiveness, mercy, mild, God and sinners reconciled. Celebrating the birth of Christ is not a once a year on Christmas thing. It is an every single day thing. I mean, even in church, Have you seen all the promotions that churches are doing? I get emails constantly every single week on social media. We get all these announcements from churches all over the place. They all want you to see that we're promoting this awesome, awesome thing. We're going to show and represent and celebrate the birth of Christ, the coming of the kings. And they're talking about all the sermons they're going to preach, sermons on the coming of Christ, sermons on the gift of salvation, sermons on the gospel. They say, you want to hear the gospel? Come on this day because you will hear the gospel on this day. This Christmas, come and hear the wonderful gospel of Jesus. Tell your friends to come because when they come to our church this day, they're going to hear the wonderful news of the coming of Christ. So I'm hearing this, all over, hearing this. Do you know that we don't do this? I mean, I had an individual ask, hey, why don't you do this? We don't do this. Other than Christmas time, other than maybe some little decorations, some additions of Advent hymns, we don't really change that much. If you remember, think about the last couple of years. Have you noticed that sometimes we don't even go away from the next verse in the current book that we're studying during Christmas? You notice that? We don't do that. I'm doing it this time because I'm trying to make a point. Do you know why? Because here at Central Baptist Church, Christmas services are not a once a week thing. It is an every week thing. Amen. An every week thing. There is no Sunday morning church service without talking about the birth and the death of Christ. We celebrate both of those things. That's why I tell people every Sunday at Central Baptist Church is Christmas and Easter Sunday. The gospel? I mean, we think that, and then they make that, it was so emphatic, like you're going to hear the gospel today. The rest of the year you're not, but today you're going to. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, so what do you preach? You know, what are we preaching on these days? If Christ is not important enough to celebrate every day, then neither will he be important enough for a season of self-indulgence. This is why we can't get people to focus on Christ on Christmas. What would we be showing? Think about this, family. What would we be showing if we ignore our kids and we don't acknowledge them all throughout the year and we pay attention to them finally on their birthday? Have nothing to do with our kids all year, but then on their birthday, that's their one moment where we spend time with them. Do you think that after a while that they're going to start to resent that? How about this? What would we be communicating to our wives if we ignored them and didn't acknowledge them all throughout the year except on our anniversary? Then on our anniversary, we'll be nice. We'll talk. We'll say things. We'll give them things, all that stuff. But then the very next day, we're back to not having anything to do with them. How do you think your wife, your husband would feel if we did that? Because what it's actually communicating is that they are not important. They're not important. And that day wouldn't be special. And that's why it's hard. That's why it's difficult. Because Christ is not a savior to be worshipped one day a week or one day a year. Our savior is worthy enough to be worshipped 24/7. Obviously, we miss the obvious. But family, this is what I think. It's not because of ignorance. It's way too obvious. It's because of distraction. And it's because of rebellion. Family, we got to know that we are naturally inclined to reject Christ. Why? Because there's just too much honesty there. When Christ is in the picture, we become face to face with the truth of the glorious Christ. We see who he really is, and then we see who we really are. This is the nature of sin within us. Every time we're faced with Christ, we see our sin, and we don't like this. Question is, can we overcome this? Can we overcome the discomfort of the reality of Christmas? Let's take a look at our passage today. King Ahaz was frightened that Israel and Syria were coming to take over Judah, and they set one of their puppets on the throne, and God promised Ahaz that they will not conquer you. God promised that. They will not conquer you. You will be fine. But Ahaz, he still didn't believe it. And God said to Ahaz, okay, fine. Then, you know what? Ask me for a sign, and I'll give you one to prove it to you. But Ahaz was like, nah, you know what? I'm going to pass on that. Probably didn't want the sign because of his unbelief. He didn't want to put his trust in God. But you know what God did? God gave him one anyway. And what did he say? He said in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, all right, then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you continue to help us. Help us to see the light, to see the truth, to recognize just how incredible and how awesome you are. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're taking notes, the first thing we're going to look at today is the promise or the sign that the Lord had given to the king, which he rejected. Okay, and so the question is, do we reject these things because of lack of information or rejecting because of rebellion? The second thing we're going to look at is the meaning of Emmanuel, which is God with us. We see that the greatest gift is the presence of God, not presence from God. So you get that? The presence of God, not the presence from God. Finally, we will look at the only thing that remains is the only thing that matters, and that is our Lord Jesus, God with us, our salvation. So our thesis statement today is this: though sin and the pattern of this world continue to cause confusion and unbelief, it is the power of the gospel, the promised baby born in a manger called Emmanuel, that will bring us life and life more abundantly for all eternity. Okay, point number one, the promise. Don't let Christmas get in the way of Christmas. God made a promise to Ahaz, and he didn't believe. He was in so much unbelief that when God asked him to even request a sign of him, he refused and then tried to be pious about it. He tried to be holy about it. I'm not going to put you to the test, Lord. I'm not supposed to do that, so I'm not going to test you, Lord. And it was false piety in order to persist in his unbelief. He trusted the Assyrians, not God. He did not care. He trusted what he could. Now, here's the thing. This is key because this is our society today. People today only trust what they can see and what they can comprehend. What they can see and what they can comprehend. If we can't understand it, we don't like it. Therefore, we're not going to trust it. It's the same thing we see here with Ahaz. He only trusted in what he could see and what he could comprehend. He trusted in the might of men, not God. He trusted in the mind of men, not God. He trusted in the ingenuity of mankind, not God. He trusted in his own might, in his own ability to see, and his own ability to comprehend. And that's kind of an issue we have. We trust what we do not trust what we do not sufficiently understand. And that's why there's a lot of hesitancy when it comes to God. That's why there's a lot of hesitancy when it comes to Christianity. A lot of it is not that you can't see. A lot of the issue is we can't comprehend it. We can't comprehend why God does what he does. We can't comprehend why God says what he says. We can't comprehend all of these things. So because we can't comprehend it, because we can't understand it, therefore we're not going to believe it. How foolish is that? Family, I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Holy Trinity. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit made clear in Scripture. Ask me if I completely understand it. I personally think literally, like if you said, hey, God, help me understand the Trinity, and God would actually put the information that you need to understand the Trinity in your brain, I think your head would explode. Seriously, how are we as a finite creature supposed to understand an infinite God? We can't even understand eternity. Like if you say, hey, Shane, help me to understand forever. I might be able to explain. I can deal with forever. It's just like things now, just never ending. I can understand forever. You ask me about eternity? Never had a beginning. I can't comprehend even eternity. I can't even comprehend the idea of never having a beginning. We can't understand, we can't comprehend, but therefore we don't put ourselves in a position because we can't understand that we don't believe. And this is what's really hard with our culture today. When we can't understand, we don't believe. But the reality is, what we get through Scripture is when we can't understand, we worship. Because I'll tell you something right now, I am not worshiping something I can understand. Do you guys get that? That's huge. I am not going to worship something I can understand. The fact that I can't understand God is the reason why the only thing I can do is worship him, to praise him, to honor him, and bow my knee to him. But again, it's not that we don't believe. The reality is, we won't believe. We can still be selfish on Christmas as long as we still give him some worship and we still give him some praise. Many times in life, we should trust in God, but instead we end up putting trust in other things like Ahaz did. We do all we can to still be respectful to God, be pious toward God, yet in our hearts, rebellion is in full bloom. And we trust what we see, what we claim to understand, like Ahaz, we trust in governments for salvation. We trust in corporations for salvation. We trust in our friends and family for salvation. We trust in popularity and money for salvation. We trust in power and success for salvation. We trust in technology for salvation. We trust in mankind and its ingenuity for salvation. And like Ahaz, we will find out that salvation belongs to the Lord. It only comes from Christ. It only comes from Christ alone. We trust in all things Christmas except Christ. We let Christmas get in the way of Christmas. And the promises of the Father. Family, we need to understand this. The promises of the Father are truly yes and amen. And not only do we see the fall of those kingdoms, we saw the fullness of the fulfillment of what God prophesied in this sign, that we saw the Virgin Mary giving birth to the Messiah. And when Christ came into this world, salvation was at hand. We are trusting in all the things in our grown-up Christmas list, but only Christ and Christ alone can save. Only Christ and Christ alone can give us life. God is true to His promises. If God promises it, you can take it to the bank. His promises are yes and amen. And God promised to send His Messiah. He promised the virgin giving birth. He promised salvation. And that baby in the manger is fulfilling His promise to us. Family, don't let Christmas get in the way of Christmas. This is our celebration today and every day. The coming of the Messiah. God the Father fulfills His promise even in the greatest of all fulfillments. This is the promise that involves the protection and deliverance of His people from condemnation. Luke chapter 2 verses 11 to 14. Luke 2, 11 to 14. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others of the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." The promise is here, family. Will we turn away like Ahaz? Or today, are we going to embrace it? Let's not allow Christmas to get in the way of Christmas. It's the promise of the Father, the greatest gift that has ever been given. It is the gift that will bring everlasting joy. It's not going to be like a toy that's going to end up in the box, in the closet, collecting dust, in the attic, or black plastic bag on its way to the Salvation Army. Or will it? Family, let's not do it. It's not just a gift that keeps on giving, but it's also the gift that we should keep on receiving. And that's another thing, too. I mean, we're talking about all the glory and honor and the worship and praise that we give to God. And then we always talk about the blessings that God will give us on during the season. Family, do you know that those blessings that we're hoping God gives us during this season are blessings that God wants to give us every day the rest of the year? Amen. It's a gift that keeps on giving, but it's not just a gift that gives us on Christmas. It's a gift that gives every day and will continue to give for the rest of our lives. So family, I hope you're not getting the idea that I'm down on Christmas. I'm not. Okay, I'm not down on Christmas. But what I want us to do is I want to make sure that we got our categories clear or just don't have them. That we just don't have them. It's not just December, family. It is every single day. Will the beauty of Christmas, the beauty of the gospel, God the Father's gracious gift be set aside like all other former Christmas gifts? Well, we continue to struggle with the obvious. Point number two, God with us. It's about the presence of God, not presence from God. This is a glorious promise that we got here. Glorious promise that we got here. The glorious promise is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Huge. And we see this wonderfully illustrated in 1 John 1:14. John 1:14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Among us. Revelation 21:3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He is the only sinless man who could provide a sinless offering, which is what was required by the law of God. He was a descendant of David, which was in accordance to the promise of God. He was human in nature, and this is why he's the only way to pay for the sins of the human nature of the people that he desires to save. We have to remember this too, Jesus also had to be God so that he could pay the price for the many transgressions of an eternal law. He had to be God so that he could bear the weight of God's eternal wrath that was going to come down on all people. Now, maybe if he was man, if all he was man, he might be able to handle the wrath of God that was going to come down on one person. But we're talking about the wrath of God, the punishment that was going to come down on all the people he desires to save. Not just now, but for the 2,000 years and the thousands and thousands of years before that. He had to put that on his shoulders. Are you kidding me? The only person that could do that is God. He had to be God so that he could bear the sins of the world. Imagine just bearing, we can't even bear the sins that we have that we committed. He had to be God so that he could satisfy all the demands that God had for his people. God had to become man. So that he could actually die. So that death would be the payment that we would need for our sin. And that happened when Jesus was born. Amen. Salvation became possible because of that baby born in the manger. And this is what we're celebrating. The coming of the Messiah who brings salvation. Salvation was possible with the birth of Christ. And salvation can only come from Christ and Christ alone. Again, the greatest gift that was ever given. The gift that gives eternally. The gift that gives eternal joy. The gift that gives life. Everlasting life and life more abundant. Family, watch this. Here it is. If this is the only thing you remember, then remember it. It's not just a gift from God. It is the gift of God. It's not just a gift from God. It's the gift of God. Will we let it pass? Will we let this gift go unredeemed? Will we let others allow this gift to go unredeemed? Do you know that 39.2% of shoppers will purchase a department store gift card for friends and family this year? Followed by 33.4% of shoppers opting for a restaurant gift card. I mean, yeah, we get those gift cards, right? And we like to get those gift cards. I like to give out those gift cards. That's convenient, man. You just go to Costco and be like, okay, this one's for Sarah. This is for John. This is for Betty. This is, you know, boom, boom, boom. That's it. You get all your Christmas shopping right there. John, Betty. I did say John and Betty, didn't I? I was thinking of other John and Betty, but you two. Okay, John, Betty Robles. But according to estimates from the Journal of State Taxation, the typical American home has an average of $300 in unused or unredeemed gift cards. Did you know that? These cards are often misplaced, accidentally thrown out, or only partially redeemed. And I had to go way back, but this is a stat that I got that actually about 10 years ago. So between 2005 and 2011, they said that there were $41 billion worth of gift cards that went unused. Unused. I use those gift cards, man. If you're not going to use them, you know. I mean, I could use $41 billion in my life. I mean, come on. Yeah, you know, I get it. I get it. Family, are we going to allow the joy of us being redeemed by the gift that God the Father gave us? Are we going to let it go unredeemed this season? Let's not allow this gift to pass by our friends and our loved ones this season. I mean, we would say something if you weren't going to redeem the gift card, right? Well, family, there's this gift card called the gospel that people are not redeeming in their life. Are we going to say something? We're going to say something? Don't let Christmas stand in the way of Christmas this year. And remember that it's not just a gift from God. It is the gift of God. We have a promise from God the Father and the gift called Emmanuel. What more can we ask for? I mean, really, what more could we ask for? Let's not miss the true joy. And the true joy, it's not the gifts. It's not a feeling. You know, it's not a feeling. I can't believe I'm going to say this. It's more than a feeling. It's not just a gift from God, but the gift of God. I'm hoping that we're recognizing and seeing that. Because if we get this and we understand this, then it blows out all those categories and all these things that are misleading us here during Christmas. That it's not just the reason for the season, but it's the reason. He's the reason for everything. He's the reason for tomorrow. He's the reason for New Year's Day. You guys really want New Year's Day to be a beautiful thing in your life? We need Christ for New Year's Day to even be a good day. I need Christ for my birthday to be a good day. All other holidays depend upon Christ. Christ is more. Christ is everything. Christ is all. So family, point number three, He's the reason for the season, yes. But we got this thing that we're dealing with right now that's really difficult and really hard that we just got to be honest and we've got to recognize. Christ is the reason for the season, but sin is the reason for the treason. Why we're doing what we're doing. The season can be a real time of distraction. So much distraction. So much stuff. I mean, even I'm just trying to watch a basketball game and all the commercials that are coming out are pressuring me to buy stuff. Man, I can't watch the basketball game without stopping my hand from reaching for my wallet and my phone to call to try to buy something I saw on TV. And man, they're getting good. You know those ones that make you feel like you're less of a person if you don't buy what they're offering? You got all these successful, famous people endorsing it too, and they're saying that if you want to be like me, you got to get this. And I definitely want to have a body like that, so I might have to, you know, you just come on, man. You know what I'm saying? It's all the whole time I'm doing this and just trying to keep myself from, it's just inundated with this stuff. So much distraction, things that are trying to pull us away. But you know what's funny? It's funny as I love that line in that wonderful hymn. Where all the things on earth go strangely dim. When Christ comes in, it's amazing. Everything goes strangely dim. And when we see that, when we recognize that, then the real power and the real joy of Christmas comes in. So yeah, man, I still want to do my very best to give my kids the best. I still want to buy presents for them. I still want to do that. Hey, I want to celebrate with everybody. This is an awesome time for us to center in, to focus in on this wonderful time, this wonderful day. Hey, I'm there, man. I'm there. But I know that my life, my countenance, the breath that I take is not dependent upon the gifts that I give to my kids. It's not dependent on the gift that's given to me. It's not dependent on that. It's not dependent on how well we actually do in our community. It's not how well we're actually doing in society. It's not dependent on any of these types of things. It's not dependent, hey, if you're watching on YouTube, it's not dependent on who is running our country. It's not dependent on any of this stuff. It is all dependent on my Lord, who is alive and well, sitting at the right-hand throne of the Father, with all authority in heaven on earth been given to Him. I can rest in that. And nothing, and I say this again, nothing in this world, nothing will have any power over you and me unless it had first been given to Him from above. Man, I lost some hair when I took a shower this morning. You guys may not know it, but I guarantee you one thing. My God does. He knows every single one that's up there. And family, His eye is on the sparrow. It's on the sparrow. And Jesus even said it, how much more? I know this is probably going to make PETA upset, but how much more value are we to our Father? If He's looking out for them, then you guys have got to, we all have got to get it in our heads. He is looking out for us. So much so that He sent His one and only Son into this world. A baby born in a manger. You see how amazing that is? A baby born in the manger. To live the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. So sin gets in the way, yes, but family, we have power over sin. The power of the Holy Spirit within our lives because of the life that we have been given through the blood that was shed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He came, and oh, He came to fulfill that promise. And that's the one thing we got to get right. He came. He came, family. And did what He needed to do. And said, it is accomplished. Salvation for you, salvation for me. And the wonderful, wonderful gift of the gospel that we hear today, that we rejoice today. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and He was buried, and He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, that He came to seek and save that which was lost, that through Him we can have life and life more abundant. By His wounds we are healed. So today, the Bible also says a promise made that if we believe, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, the promise is what? You will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation. And that's the thing. That's the thing that we rest on. That's the thing that we hope for. So remember, as amazing and as wonderful as the things that the individual sang about that asked for in their grown-up Christmas list, those are all great things. I like all of those types of things. But all of those things mean nothing if we don't have life in Christ. None of those things mean anything if you are not covered with the blood of Christ. None of it means anything. And I know maybe it's hard for us to comprehend that. There are too many commercials that I have to compete with. I get it. But that's the essence of it all. Christ said it himself, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. All right, let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.